Welcome to Hero Hype, episode 8. I'm Marima.
And I'm Danya.
Danya, it's our Valentine's Day episode, and am I the human torch, or are you getting me all hot and steamy? Yeah, get ready for a lot of those jokes. And yeah, that's right, I made a Fantastic Four reference. I don't like them, but I still know what they're about. Okay, we have so much news to talk about this week. Oh my god, everyone is excited for the biggest story to happen in a really long time. We didn't think it was ever going to happen. We had sort of given up hope. There were always rumors, but you know, rumors don't really mean anything, and we just like given up. That was it. And now the entire world is united because, guys, Constantine may not be dead. It might have another home. I know we were all just rejoicing at that moment. And there's some stuff happened with Spider-Man too. We'll get to that. Don't worry about it. That's it, right? That's the big news. I think that's what
it's
everyone's
totally
tuning
the
in.
Big news.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, we are of course going to talk about the huge Spider-Man news. You know, there'll be some kind of Chariots of Fire montage, etc. But and before that, we have to talk about the stuff no one cares about, and that's right, I mean television. We had some fun stuff happening on our Twitter this week. If you want to get in touch with us, we are at Hero Hype Podcast on Twitter. Speaking of TV, we actually had one of our lovely guests from last time, Caitlin. She was live tweeting the Arrow episode for us this week, or last week, I should say, not the one that just aired, which was really fun. And I know a lot of you guys got involved with that. And then Danya started a fun thing, our Hero Hype rewatch. That's a hashtag because we know how the internet works. You have to tag everything. Don't worry, guys. We're hip and cool. Danya, please explain why you chose Wolverine Origins for this.
Because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
No, I genuinely chose it because I wanted to go back and take another look at Deadpool again and see if my opinion of him changed, if I rewatched, and spoiler alert, it didn't. It still sucked just as badly as the first time I watched it. But yeah, it was fun. I did have a couple of people rewatching along with me, and we were tweeting back and forth at each other. So that was really cool. That made it a much more fun kind of experience for me. And I'd love to do it again. So if you have any ideas, guys, for what you'd like to rewatch, either with me, or maybe I'll get Marima involved as well.
Hey,
maybe.
I have a Twitter account. I can do it. I know how to hashtag.
Yeah. So if you want to rewatch something with us, give us some suggestions either through Twitter or leave a comment at the end of this show once you finish listening, and we'll take them on board. And if one is overwhelmingly popular, then we'll definitely do that next, and we'll make sure to set a really good date and time so as many people can get involved as possible.
Yeah, definitely. I am feeling the urge to possibly watch Professor X explode Voldemort style, if anyone is interested in an X-Men rewatch. Or I'm always happy to watch Captain America, just putting that out there.
Yeah.
Although Danya and I would have to fight for who gets to do the Captain America rewatch, so that could get ugly.
It could.
Yeah, this is a fun thing. I like it. So yeah, make sure you guys let us know on Twitter. That's Hero Hype Podcast. We love hearing from you. And you can also leave a comment, of course, on this post on hyperbull.com, where all of our podcasts are listed for your listening pleasure. All right, let's talk TV.
Internet, so helpful. Been reading that a lot, trying to catch up.
Obviously, this show is going to be a lot about Spider-Man. We've got some Spider-Man info for you, both in our brief history section and in our comic book recommendations. Before we get to that, though, the Daredevil trailer was released, so that's exciting, I guess. I have to say, like, I'm not the world's biggest or most enthusiastic Daredevil fan. Dee, are you excited to see this? Were you into the trailer?
I actually really enjoyed the trailer, and the reason why is that Netflix continues to prove that they can really push the bound that they can really push the boundaries of what the superhero genre can cover, because it was a hell of a lot darker than a lot of stuff that we've seen from Marvel. I mean, it was particularly violent, and they can play with, which is that obviously they had the undercurrent of religion going through the whole trailer, and it could be quite interesting to see how they play that off, both either as maybe Matt being religious and being conflicted between, you know, his faith and possibly what he needs to do to keep the people of Hell's Kitchen safe, or even if, you know, he encounters people within Hell's Kitchen who are particularly religious, or corruption in the religious system. You know, it's something that they haven't really tackled before, so that kind of makes it really, really interesting for me. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm interested in seeing what they do with the format. As most people know, I'm sure Netflix releases all of their episodes at once. So all 13 episodes of Daredevil will be released on Netflix on the 10th of April, so not far now. And like mm-hmm. you said, obviously different medium, so they can get a little darker. This had a bit of a House of Cards vibe to it, I think, in places. And I'm a big House of Cards fan. I just, you know, just like, I'm not a big Daredevil fan. But I'm really interested to see how they play on the format of knowing, like, the entire story is released at once. It's, I imagine, going to be, you know, it may be the only season of Daredevil as far as we know. So yeah, that would be interesting to me. As far as, like, the actual character goes, it's just not, doesn't inspire a huge amount of enthusiasm for me. But obviously we will be checking that out as it comes. And it might be a good hint into what some of the other Netflix series are going to be like as well. It'll be something different from Marvel. So
yeah,
that is always fun. One story that I know you'll be very excited about is that we know which characters are going to be on the Teen Titans live action series. Are you still excited about this? You were excited when it was in development.
Yeah, I'm actually still really excited about this because they've made the lineup very female heavy.
Like, yes, they have.
Aside from Robin and one of the duo characters that they've got in there, you know, it's all ladies. So obviously they've left out Beast Boy and Cyborg, but they've got Raven and Starfire and I'm gonna say Barbara Gordon just because we don't know which direction they're really going in. It looks like they're setting it up as like post Batgirl starting Oracle kind of storyline. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, it wasn't the direction I was expecting them to take at all. I was expecting it to be the kind of the lineup that we probably were used to from the Teen Titans cartoon, because mm-hmm. it would have pulled from that, which yeah. was, you know, Robin, Raven, Starfire, Beast Boy, and Cyborg. But, you know, I'm all for them making the lineup lady heavy. I'm okay with that.
I'm not a big fan of ladies. I feel like they get way too much screen time. Silence. All right.
Yeah. The one thing I'm not too enamored with is that they might be pushing a love triangle, because I'm sick to death of love triangles. Like, in anything, it just really, really is starting to grate on me. And obviously you've got two potential love interests for Robin in Barbara and Starfire. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. They're probably going to head in that direction. Don't particularly want it. And I don't know. I'm kind of dubious like about that direction. But, you know, it's yeah. Teen Titans. I do really enjoy Teen Titans.
I know you do. I am, you know, I'm interested. I have to say, not an area of expertise for me. So I defer to your expertise on that particular topic. But more ladies, that's always a good thing. So, yeah. You know, still very early days as far as that series goes.
The other interesting thing is the Barbara Gordon that they're taking is going to be wheelchair bound.
Yes.
So, hey, representation for disabilities, you know, the more that we get on TV and the more that we start talking about this, and that a disability doesn't necessarily have to limit you. You can still be a hero, even with them. Hell yes. You know what? That's a lot more diversity that I would like to see, because obviously you have Daredevil who's blind, and now we've got, you know, wheelchair-bound Barbara Gordon. Like, I'm liking this direction, because, you know, you shouldn't really need to shy away from that sort of thing. And, yeah, I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, and I guess what's encouraging about that is that they could have not done it. Like, with Daredevil, you can't do a Daredevil who isn't blind. Like, it's not, yeah. You know, whereas they could have gone the other way, and they chose to embrace that. So, yeah, very encouraging. That is very good news. Back over more familiar territory for me in the world of Arrow, John Diggle, now fan favorite character, but could John Diggle be John Stewart Diggle and the Green Lantern? Is that where this is going? The actor was asked and he said, "I cannot say yes and I cannot say no." So he has literally nothing to say. He says, "I do not know. But I know there has been serious discussion about whether or not this guy becomes Jon Stewart. But I mean, I'll say this, it is top secret." So, what do we think the chances are? I think this would be amazing. But would it work on Arrow is the question.
The thing is that they've admitted that since crossing over with the Flash, they can feasibly see ways in which, you know, more superpower-esque kind of things can work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, moving in the direction of Green Lantern for Diggle wouldn't be, like, out of the realms of possibility, just because, you know, the Arrow and Flash crossover worked so well, and you know, it can work in both universes, in both shows. So, but the thing that I'd be worried about is, would that mean that then Diggle becoming a hero in his own right, in terms of, like, Green Lantern and having his own moniker and having that, would he then go into a spin-off show? Like, is that what they want? And the thing about Arrow for me is that, and I will speak very briefly, I'm really frustrated with Oliver Queen right now. Really frustrated with him, to the point where I want to smack him in the mouth and go, "What are you doing?"
All right, yeah, but let's talk about this. There's been some big moments on Arrow in the last couple weeks.
But basically, without Diggle and without Felicity, Oliver would go a little bit out of control, in terms of there's no one to check his white privilege, essentially. And I think Diggle is such a key person in that, in being able to rein Oliver in and go, "Boy, you are stupid as heck." And Felicity helps with that too, that potentially turning him into the Green Lantern and spinning him off into a different show would potentially be a detriment to Arrow, because I think Diggle is such a key component in bringing Oliver back down to Earth.
I totally agree. I guess I'm in two minds about it, because I feel like, so Diggle is a trained soldier, right? Like, the reason that the Flash works is because Barry is still trying to navigate his powers. Once Barry knows what's going on and, like, has control of his shit, the fight between Oliver and Barry is, like, not even a nothing, that's a nothing fight, you know. Barry wins that in a second. So if Diggle becomes Green Lantern, doesn't that make Oliver obsolete? You know, like, wouldn't it just be like, "Oh, I got this," and Diggle just solves every problem? You know what I mean? Like, the power imbalance there is too great for him to work on Arrow, for them to work together, because, like I said, Diggle already has a training, obviously, you know, slightly different skill set coming from Green Lantern, but, you know, it's not the same way of Barry, like, trying to navigate growing up and dealing with his family and, like, all of this stuff. Like, Diggle has his life together, you know, he knows what's going on. So you can't run that same storyline, which is what makes Flash and Arrow crossovers work together. Because it's not going to happen. So part of me doesn't like that. The other part of me kind of would love to see Diggle just be like, no, man, I got this. And Oliver just like have nothing to do because like you said, it's that sort of white guy privilege that Oliver definitely has. And, you know, it would be kind of nice to see him put in his place, I suppose. You know, I love Oliver. I'm a huge fan of Oliver, despite recent frustrations. But that would be a really interesting twist on it. But I don't think it could sustain it. The show couldn't sustain having both characters on it. And if that means that Diggle gets spun off into a Green Lantern spinoff, then we lose him on the show. And I feel like that would be such a shame. So, you know, maybe they're going to do some kind of twist of incorporating that in a different way that we haven't thought of. But I don't know. It's interesting that they're addressing it, I guess.
Yeah, so. I mean, they're kind of addressing the team and Oliver's relevance to it at the moment as well, right, in regards to them being able to function without him and them kind of essentially being, Oliver, what the hell? We were dealing with this without you. We are more than capable. Please stop trying to, like, take charge and not lead. Mm-hmm. Because that's what he's doing at the moment, is he's trying to, like, wrestle control back from everyone and be like, no, I'm in charge. This is my thing. I'm the Green Arrow. And it's like, dude, Oliver, we got honey. It. Yeah. It's like, it's under control. Chill out.
Yeah. Go have a drink. Yeah, let's talk really quick about Arrow, because obviously the last couple episodes have been big, big episodes, and we're huge Arrow fans. I, small point, obviously the episode that just aired last night, Canaries, was a big turning point for a lot of reasons. I loved the reveal, the Oliver Thea reveal. Did you love that? I was so worried that we were going to get another, oh, everyone lies to me from Thea. Like, we were going to go back into that storyline, and I was just going to hit my head against a brick wall if we regress back there. I love Thea's reaction, and the other, I suppose, big emotional moment in the reveal was Laurel finally telling Lance about Sarah, which just killed me in my little robot heart. Just made me feel the emotions when he says, like, oh, not again. And I'm like, stop. Just, I can't deal with this. What did you think about, I suppose, you know, the general direction of Arrow, like you just said, but those two moments in particular, do you think they were handled well?
I think they were handled incredibly well. And it was handled surprisingly well. Not that I didn't think that the writers would deal with that in the correct way, but rather, if you took the trend of how Arrow had gone so far, you would probably have expected things to have spiraled out of control a little bit. And it was nice to see that, you know, some of these characters have grown and developed from when we first saw them back in season one. And yes, these are world-changing moments for those characters, but they've learned how to deal with their emotions and deal with them in terms of the world that they're living in, and kind of moved on from that. So it was a really realistic look at how these situations have changed them and kind of skewed their worldview a little bit in how they kind of react to these kind of developments. So it was, yeah, it was really, really good. I liked it quite a lot in how they dealt with it.
Yeah, I think the show could have really struggled without Oliver for these episodes. But, oh man, I'm just such a fan of Thea right now. And, you know, I was really mad at the show for that twist with Sarah's death, but I'm liking where it's going again. So hopefully they're going to try and fix this. The other piece of Arrow news that we've had recently was we did get our first look at the Atom suit. Dare I say, he looks a lot better in this than he did as Superman. I'm sure I'm not the only one who thinks that.
He looks so Ant-Man in this suit.
He does. And he doesn't look happy about it either.
No, and I'm a little worried about this visor on the front, because it comes down only like a certain way. It only comes down so far. It looks like it's a little weird, and I'm not sure. like in terms of protection around the kind of face area, it doesn't look like it's the best design. But then it is a first incarnation of this suit, so
yeah. I was also thinking there might be like a bit of an Iron Man type vision thing happening on that visor. Like, it's not just for protection. We're going to see some nice computer effects on that, and maybe that'll make him slightly less Ant-Man-y. But you know, he looks good. It's fine. Speaking of Arrow and the Flash, I don't know, I'm not so into it the last couple episodes, but I like where it's going. Where it's going is time travel, and it's really going for it, as we saw in the most recent episode this week. We have heard from the executive producer, who said the time travel episode will have massive repercussions, so that's exciting. And we knew, you know, quite a while ago that time travel was the direction they were heading, but they're really going for it now, which is exciting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of stands to reason that it would have massive repercussions on the whole universe. I mean, it's a game changer in terms of how the Flash works. And obviously it could also split, not necessarily loyalties, but kind of how people deal with the idea that time travel is a thing, both with how Barry deals with it and the idea that he can change things in the past, and how other people deal with it in terms of, do they think that he should use it sparingly? Do they think that he should change more things or try and prevent other things from happening? I mean, there's a lot of like moral dilemma stuff that could come into it, and the relationships between the characters that would be really interesting to explore in how they kind of deal with the reveal that Barry can do this kind of thing. But it's also really interesting to kind of think of how it could deal with, you know, Barry's kind of physicality. Mm-hmm. And how it affects his body. I mean, obviously, them being in such a highly scientific kind of place, Cisco would probably want to really, really delve into that sort of thing and be like, oh, what's it doing to you to be able to do this? And then be like, oh, this is not good. Let's not do this. So it could, there's so many directions that they could push it in. So,
Yeah, definitely. Oh, okay, I wanted to mention this before, but quick question. Do you think now that Thea knows what's going on with Oliver, we're going to see her in the red and yellow Speedy costume? Can that happen? Because, man, I have been waiting so long for the Queen siblings to team up on Arrow. Like, so long. So long. Yeah. And I need that to happen.
Yeah, I'd like to see Thea, like, step up to the plate and be like, you know what? Let's team up. Let's work on this together.
Because I'm awesome.
Yeah, because she's awesome. But also, you know, we've seen how them splitting loyalties and not working together like pans out. It's never good for anyone involved. So seeing them kind of come back together and basically work with their strengths and weaknesses and protect the city together, that would be super interesting. So that's definitely something I would love to see, and also less Malcolm. But
please, someone bring back Torchwood and give that guy another job. Jeez.
Stop trusting Malcolm, please. Yeah,
seriously. Never end. All right. So, yeah, that's really it in terms of the big TV news. Just briefly, what else is going on The Flash? They've cast Emily Kinney, who people may know from The Walking Dead, who is going to be joining as the Bug-Eyed Bandit. She looks perfect for that.
Yeah, but also, the really cool thing about this, the Bug-Eyed Bandit in the comics was a man.
Yes.
Not a woman. So they have changed this up so that they could bring in more diversity into the show. And I like that they've changed this up. And also, Emily Kinney getting more work. Hell yes. Without Walking Dead spoilers,
I mean,
she was phenomenal on that show.
I'm going to assume she's dead.
Okay, fine. Mam is going to spoil Walking
Dead. I haven't seen it. I'm just assuming. If she's not on it, it's a show about zombies. If she's not on it anymore, like, oh, chances are she got killed by a zombie. Or...
But yeah, she was phenomenal on that show. So seeing her getting more work and you know, crossing over into something that I also love just as much. Like, yeah, super into it. Love that she's joining the Flashverse universe. Yeah. So
love the gender swap. That is excellent.
Yes. Yeah.
Over on Supergirl, they have released a casting call for Lumberjack, who is going to be the big bad in the pilot. So that's exciting. Over on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Lady Sif is coming back, but with memory loss, that's a thing that's going to happen. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I never liked memory loss storylines, but we'll see how that goes. I'm a big fan of Jamie Alexander, so that could be cool. And then, as we mentioned at the top of the show, possible news for Constantine fans. Obviously, Constantine was not picked up for a second season on NBC, but it might be moving to Sci-Fi, which would make a lot of sense.
It makes a lot more sense than it being on NBC. Let me just say that.
Nothing makes sense being on NBC. Like, they have the weirdest, most eclectic lineup of shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Sci-Fi feels like the right kind of home for Constantine. Mm-hmm. The rumor says that they may also rebrand it as Hellblazer, which, funnily enough, would be the first time that it would retain the comic book title in either a movie or TV universe. So
that would be
pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for TV. Although, I guess checking in quickly, Agent Carter, are you still loving it? We only have 2 episodes left.
Yes. Oh my God.
Peggy it's getting has been caught. So good. Yeah. Yeah. Now she counts as a man. Yeah. Now treat her like a dude. All right. I feel like this week, like in the next week that's coming out, the penultimate episode, that's when she's going to convince them that she's actually not a traitor, and then everything just goes to hell in the final episode. And yeah. I still feel like Sousa is a bad guy because he seems like a good guy. I still think that that is a thing.
Trust no one.
Yeah, I have no faith in anyone except Peggy and not even Jarvis. Like, I don't know. If there isn't more to Jarvis, then we'll see. But obviously, we'll be keeping you up to date with that. And when our next episode airs, Agent Carter will be all finished. So that'll be really sad. Really, really sad. Because we're big fans. So, you know, we'll have a lot more to say about it then when it has all wrapped up. But now, of course, it is time to talk about Spider-Man. This is the biggest news of, like, the year and the decade and whatever else. Everything is so exciting. Before we get there, though, it's time for our brief history segment where we tell you everything you need to know about a comic book character. We read the comics so that you don't have to. And this week, it's all about Miles Morales.
Everything about you just became so unbelievably clear.
So, Danya, take it away.
So, just to give you a quick rundown, first of all, this takes place in the Ultimates universe, which runs separately to the main Marvel continuity, which is where they pull from for most of the movies. But, so Miles Morales was born and raised in Brooklyn by his African-American father and Puerto Rican mother. Much like his superhero namesake, Miles also has an aptitude for science. After being awarded with the final spot in a charter school lottery, he visits his uncle against his parents' wishes to tell him the news. Whilst there, he's bitten by an Oz-enhanced spider and develops superpowers. After saving some people from a burning building, Miles tells his best friend that he's not cut out to be a superhero and returns to his ordinary school life. Eventually, he becomes witness to a huge superhero battle on the Queensboro Bridge and watches as Spider-Man dies in the arms of his loved ones. Inspired by Gwen Stacy, he chooses to inherit the Spider-Man mantle and become a hero in honor of Peter's memory.
All right, so let's get to it. Someone play Chariots of Fire. Someone cue the romantic montage. We're running into each other's arms because Spider-Man is coming home. He's coming home because he's returning to Marvel. That's right. Marvel and Sony are teaming up, and Spider-Man's next solo film will be released on the 28th of July, 2017. It's all happening. There were rumors forever. Now it's going down. Donya, you woke up to this news. Please explain your reaction in all capital letters.
My initial reaction was because I got a text message from you going, oh my god, Spider-Man. And I was like, they're going, what? What's happened? Like, running through my head going, has Sony, like, canned everything? The films and blah, 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 blah. And then I get onto Twitter and it's like, Spider-Man's back at Marvel. Marvel and Spider-Man. And I'm like, they're going, oh my god. Holy crap. Never thought that we would actually see the day. I thought Marvel were going to prize Spider-Man out of Sony's cold, dead hands. Yep. But he's back. As obviously I was reading through all the stories, there was slight confliction in the press releases, one of which mentioned that it's absolutely 100% going to be Peter, and the other one not making any mention of which Spider-Man they were going to be continuing with. So, it's probably going to be Peter. It's almost certainly going to be Peter. He's the most bankable of the characters. But, yeah, as I read kind of through a little bit as well, it was, like, really interesting to see that Sony is still going to have final say on the solo movies and who is going to be recast, because we're losing Andrew Garfield. And Marvel will have pretty much control of what his role will be then in their movies. So it's going to be interesting how this plays out, because Sony's going to have a lot of creative control and direction in where he goes, but Marvel's also going to have a lot of control and in terms of the direction he takes in their universe. So I'm envisioning a lot of really ridiculous arguments.
Oh yeah.
in what's going to happen. It's both very, very exciting, because maybe finally we'll get a coherent and cohesive, interesting story that really, really moves in a direction that's interesting, with Marvel having some input in it, because there's so many places that they can play from, and they can even cross over a little bit of what's happening in the Marvel Cinematic Universe into the Spider-Man solo movies in terms of how that affects Spider-Man. But the other thing is that it's pushed back so many films that I was looking forward to more than another solo Spider-Man property.
Yes, we will get to that in a second. The official announcement basically says, so Spider-Man will be appearing first of all in a Marvel film from the current lineup, then will be appearing in the next solo film from Sony. So that's the July 2017 film. And that will be co-produced with Marvel's president, Kevin Feige, and Amy Pascal, who recently stepped down from Sony because of all of the hacks and et cetera, some choice things that she said we won't get into. In the Marvel press release, they say, and this is a quote from the president of Sony Pictures, who says, this new level of collaboration is the perfect way to take Peter Parker's story into the future. So from that, it does sound like we will be getting Peter, because who doesn't want to see a reboot of Peter Parker? Because, man, I just have not seen enough of that guy. I feel like I need more Peter Parker in my life, because, you know, two different versions of him, that's really not enough. I need that lucky number three. Yeah. So, yeah, good times. Good times for Peter Parker fans, not so much for, like, anyone else in the world. Yeah, so, you know, obviously it's very exciting. It raises, like you said, a lot of questions because, aside from the films that have been pushed back, one that has not changed is the Avengers Part 1 and 2 Infinity War in 2018 and 2019, and most people are expecting that we will see Spider-Man in that. Because it would make sense, obviously, to see him in an Avengers movie. But, you know, if he appears in that, who gets control over what goes on with the character? It's not 100% clear. how that will go. So yeah, like you said, I think though it's going to be a lot of tense negotiations between Sony and Marvel, and you know, I'm sure the story does not end here. In terms of recasting the role, as we knew when this leaked ages and ages ago, that if Spider-Man did return to Marvel, they were going to recast Andrew Garfield. They would not be keeping him on. And now new reports are out that both studios are looking to cast a much younger actor in the role of Peter Parker. So Andrew Garfield is not that old. He's only like 30, 31. And Tobey Maguire is like 1,000 years old. Who knows? But yeah, I guess they're going for the teen Peter Parker route, which is, I mean, how young are they going? Because I feel like we've seen teenage Peter Parker a lot, you know, and then I don't know how that's going to work.
I don't know. I had in my head an idea of how they could make this work and make it work quite interestingly if they were going to keep Peter. Like, I kind of had...
All right, break it down for us.
Okay. So when I first saw the announcement, I kind of thought, right, okay, if they're sticking with Peter, the way that they could do it without, like, completely disregarding the Amazing Spider-Man reboot is making him older. So we come into maybe Civil War, for example, and we have an older Peter Parker who's been around a little bit, has been superheroing, has really like kind of settled into himself and is kind of under the radar in terms of he's been out superheroing it up, but nobody knows who he is because obviously he's kept his real identity under wraps.
Mm-hmm.
It would also then have kept the iteration of Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man as part of the continuity without, like, disregarding that entirely and rebooting again. And, you know, adult Peter Parker is who was part of Civil War.
Yeah.
And is the one that most people would be familiar with from the comics is an older Peter Parker. And then, obviously, moving on from there and doing it that way. And then, obviously, cutting back to his solo film with Peter Parker really settled in his life and the impacts of Civil War on his life and how that changes him in his solo movie, which would have been really, really interesting to see the repercussions of that playing out. Going back to a much younger Spider-Man makes the dynamic between how he's going to play against the Avengers and how this is going to affect his solo movies a little bit darker, I guess, in terms of how it's going to work. Because obviously the Civil War storyline plays a lot on outing people's superhero identities and you know, their real life identities and making them register and making everyone aware of who these people are and holding them accountable. Now, it would move into a really dark, sinister direction if that particular person is what, supposed to be 15,
right,
maybe 16, is a child, and they're what, putting them in into the forefront of the media in terms of who they actually are and who their identity is and kind of outing them like that. That's really, really dark if that's the direction that they're gonna go in, because it's kind of like, I don't know. It just,
yeah, it could be dynamic.
Yeah, it could be really interesting, but it could also be really, really terrifying in terms of, you know, how do the government control something like that?
Right.
And, you know, do you then, what do you put these kids on lockdown? Do you control them? Do you, yeah, it just, it could give an interesting narrative if Peter Parker is younger, but it would really, really change up the way that Spider-Man works in his solo movie in terms of it's not going to be as light-hearted and funny necessarily in that respect if you really take the Civil War storyline across, because it changes everything. If he's having to not only protect himself as a 15-year-old, but his family and everything else that comes with that. And yeah, right. I'm not sure.
And we should like clarify, we don't know if he's going to be a large factor in the Civil War film. Obviously, a lot of people are assuming so, but we don't know yet how that's going to go down. But that seems awkward to me. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is 49. Chris Evans is 33, but, you know, he kind of plays it a little older, I would say. And in terms of the other Avengers, like, what are you going to have, like, a 15-year-old kid running around with these guys who are, you know, in their 40s, 30s, 40s? It makes it weird. Like, it makes it like they're babysitting. So, then again, you know, what do they mean by much younger actor is a good question. Andrew Garfield, when he was cast, would have just been in his late 20s. And Hollywood in general tends to cast older actors to play younger roles. So, you know, you actually wrote a really great article, a really great casting article, and you had some suggestions for Teenage Peter. You had Dylan O'Brien, Logan Lerman, and Devin Werkheiser, I think is how you say his name. And they're all 23. I just checked. So I'm 23. Maybe I could be cast as Teenage Peter. Let's start that Twitter campaign. Until then, so, you know, they're all 23, but obviously they could play it younger. You know, I suppose out of the three of those, like, who would be your pick? Who would you like to see?
Personally, as much as I think Dylan O'Brien would be capable of it, I was very, very particular in the choices that I made here, and that I was going off of the direction they'd taken Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man in, in that he had Jewish roots. So I tried to pick a few actors who had a Jewish background as well, and both Logan Lerman and Devin Werkheiser do have that background. So I would prefer, for continuity's sake, that they continue in that way, because there isn't a lot of positive Jewish representation on television, and it's something that is, you know, is a little strange, I think, and it would be really nice to continue that, because even Stan Lee, who created the character in the first place, is a Jewish American citizen, so, you know,
represent.
It's really nice representation. I mean, at the time when Spider-Man was created, he was made, I think it was Irish Catholic, but Stan Lee has said in interviews that had he been able to get away with it at the time, he would have made Peter Jewish American. So, you know, that we're now at a point where we can actually change that up and make it a thing, make it a part of Peter's history. I wanted to choose two actors who could continue that legacy.
All right, so pick one. I'm putting you on the spot.
Pick one. Okay. To be honest, I would like it to be Devin Werkheiser, because
The kid from Ned's Declassified.
Yeah, but he was in Franklin and Bash recently, and he played a high school journalist, and it gave off such really great Peter Parker vibes, which is why I went with him as one of my choices. But the thing that I think is really great with Marvel is that they take people that are really unassuming and unexpected in the industry, and they really push them to the forefront again and showcase what they're actually capable of. Whereas I think with Dylan O'Brien and Logan Lerman, they've both proven that they are great dramatic actors, and they both also have a comedic aspect to them that suits Peter really, really well. But if I wanted Marvel to go with something unexpected, I would prefer them to go with Devin.
Yeah, you're right. I think it was really nice how Marvel gave a nice boost to that young actor, Cumberbatch something. That guy needed a boost, and, you know, it must have been tough being him. So that's always nice to see actors get a little recognition. I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to go with Logan Lerman. I think he would be really great. I think he could play the role younger if necessary, if they wanted to go in that direction. And I just really enjoy him. you know, he's kind of done the blockbuster thing, so I feel like he would be able to hold his own, and it would be great. If people want to check this article out, it's really great. So there's Teenage Peter we just talked about. There's also some suggestions for Adult Peter if they had gone in that direction that Junya was describing before. And then we, of course, have some suggestions for Miles Morales, which is why we wanted to give you that brief history, because as soon as they said that Spider-Man was coming, there are a lot of people really excited, thinking, well, maybe we'll get Miles, maybe we'll get some representation, but most people are more familiar with Peter, so we just wanted to catch everyone up, make sure everyone knew exactly who Miles was, and why that was so exciting. All right, let's talk about the big problem with this news, I guess. We're all very excited that Marvel is getting Spider-Man. You know, we didn't think it was going to happen. That's great. No one is arguing about that. Like, I'm not a Sony fan by any means, but I am a huge Spider-Man fan, like, you know, the rest of the entire world. But there has been some ramifications for this, and the main thing that has happened is that Marvel's Phase 3 slate has all been, well, has some choice films have been pushed back. So Thor Ragnarok was originally going to be released on the July date that the new Spider-Man movie now has, the new solo film. So that's being pushed back to November 2017, and that's really created a domino effect in the Phase 3 lineup. So Black Panther has been pushed to July 2018, Captain Marvel until November 2018, and Inhumans until July 2019. So All of those four films have been pushed back at least like 5-6, in the case of Inhumans, like 8 months. You know, that's all right. Like, I understand. Okay, you have to make room for Spider-Man. The weird thing is, though, like, I do remember there being some discussion when people were saying, hey, wouldn't it be really great if we could get a Black Widow film? Wouldn't it be super great if we could get a Captain Marvel film? And Marvel Studios saying, you know, guys, like, this takes time. Be patient. It'll happen. We need to plan it all out in advance. We can't just throw a new movie in there and sort it out. You know, that's not how this works. Weird how that all went out the window as soon as Spider-Man was on the table. And weird in a terrible, really frustrating way. Donya, how is this making you feel? Tell me your feelings on this. Lie on my couch and tell me about it.
I'm mad as hell. Yeah. I am so mad about this, because the whole thing about Phase 3 is that there were some really great properties that were really diverse and really interesting coming up, and they were the ones I was most excited about. Black Panther and Captain Marvel. And to some extent, the Inhumans, which could play a really, really interesting role in the entire cinematic universe. And the thing is that Marvel has no ownership over two huge properties that it would have loved to have pulled from, Spider-Man and X-Men. And without that, they had to think outside the box. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That is a really, really good thing, because it's given us more interesting and more dynamic movies and the possibility of making things more diverse. Now, them getting Spider-Man back has made it look like, oh, hey, these really interesting things that we had to think about, like Guardians of the Galaxy, which would never have been made if Marvel had owned Spider-Man from the outset. Like Captain Marvel, like Black Panther, you know what? Let's just, like, nudge all that to one side, because, hey, look, Spider-Man, look at this. Isn't this great? It's like, no, it's not. Yes, it's great in a way that you own it partially again, but no, people look to Marvel to lead the way in terms of superhero movies. There's no doubting that they really changed the face of how this works. And the thing is they have so much pull in this industry and in how they can change the game entirely on Hollywood that it's almost expected of them, and they're shooting themselves in the foot with this, because they could have pushed them forward. Instead, they could have gone, do you know what, let's shake it up a little bit, let's mix it up in terms of, okay, we need to move some of them back. Why don't we bring one of them forward, move one of them back, you know, change up the phase three lineup a little bit in a different way, in a way people aren't expecting. You know, we now have to wait even longer to see a female superhero lead a movie. And you know what? Fine, we're getting one, hopefully, eventually, but that's not okay. And that, yeah, like you said, their whole excuse for not having a Black Widow movie is that there was no kind of space in the lineup and it wouldn't have been feasible. Well, there's space for Spider-Man, apparently. So why is there not space for Black Widow? And right. They could still very easily have fit a Black Widow movie in there. But it just screams of making excuses for things that just make their lives easier. And that's not who I expect Marvel to be. I expect them to be much better than this.
Right. It's also worth noting, of course, that Avengers Infinity War Part 1 falls right in the middle of all of these that have been pushed back. And then Infinity War Part 2 is towards the end, near when Inhumans was due. And those movies were not moved. And I would hazard a guess of, like, betting all my possessions that had Guardians of the Galaxy also been in this, and it's coming out in May of 2017, so it sort of just missed out. But had that been coming out, had that been the November film of the year, it would not have been moved either, because they don't want to mess with those franchises. But for some reason, and I wonder why it is, they think, oh, the one about the person of color, the one about the woman, yeah, no problem. Let's move those back. That's not an issue. And yeah, it's super frustrating. Obviously, like, when you look at the Phase 3 slate, they're basically going for, like, a summer tempo film and then a holiday film. Like, every year that's kind of, they, you know, you get a May or July film and then a November film, and they alternate, and that's kind of how it goes. And, you know, they've squeezed Spider-Man in there, but as you said, it wasn't the only way. And, you know, sure, obviously there are a lot of contract negotiations with Sony, and I'm sure that makes it difficult as well. I'm not saying that, like, we know from all of the rumors and everything that have come out in the last few years, even at this point, that this was a super complicated deal to navigate. But yeah, it's really frustrating that the default position is, oh, the films with, like, five white guys in them, yeah, or the one with a raccoon, yeah, that's fine, leave those. Oh, the ones with, like, a bit of representation that people are really excited to see, let's push those back. And, oh, it's just Marvel being Marvel. Like, you know, listeners of Hero Hype obviously know we are huge Marvel fans. Like, we are really Marvel girls. And that's not going to change, but that doesn't make this less frustrating. And in all of the excitement for Spider-Man coming to Marvel, I feel like this has been missed a lot of times. And it's just kind of a little footnote on the story. Oh, P.S., all of these movies are getting pushed back. So that's why we really wanted to talk about it and just make sure everyone kind of knew what was going on with it.
And here's the other thing, is that, you know what? Okay, this is how the Phase 3 lineup's going to look. Fine. Make it better, then. Make Carol Danvers and make Chala characters who are going to show up in movies before their solo movies. Introduce them as a character, give them a pivotal role in some of the other movies, because that's the only way this is going to be okay.
Right, not the an end only credit way. Scene.
That yeah, not count. An end credit scene. No. Make them a pivotal role in one of the other movies. And that's the only way that them pushing these movies back even further is going to be moderately okay. It's not even going to excuse that, but it'll at least make it a little bit better and give us something to look forward to prior to that. You know, it's not going to be difficult. They've been able to balance ensemble movies between certain numbers of characters so far, and it's not going to be difficult to give them a good role, especially with you know, the potential of Wakanda being brought up in Age of Ultron, and with the possibility of Carol Danvers maybe being an offshoot from S.H.I.E.L.D. somehow, because she was involved in the military. She was part of the Air Force in the comics. So, you know, there's a huge, huge and easy way that they can introduce these characters based on themes and settings that they've already put in their Marvel universe. So, do you know what? I expect better of you, Marvel. So please prove me right. Prove me right for being, for having some faith in you. Don't disappoint me any further.
And prove me wrong, because I have no faith in you or anything. and you know, that's a great point. And also, like, they have no excuse for not doing that, because until like 2 days ago, all of these films needed to be done 6 months ahead of what is now the schedule. And especially if they're worried about not getting the same audience for these characters who, yes, granted, are smaller characters, are lesser known characters. The perfect way to do that is have them pop up in the film of a better known character, like have them show up. People will be interested. People will be intrigued. People are going to watch. I feel like that's what Marvel don't understand, is people are going to watch all of these movies regardless of who's in them. So, you know, they could have a movie about a potted plant and people would be like, oh, sounds great. Like, you know, I mean, Groot, that's essentially Groot. Like, that's essentially Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So my point stands. We'll see.
Yeah, this is the argument that they're also making for it needing to be Peter Parker rather than Miles Morales, is that people are familiar with Peter, people know his story, people are interested in Peter. No, people are interested in Peter and Peter's story because you've already introduced him. There's an amazing opportunity here to change it into Miles and to make it, you know, a direction that people aren't expecting of them, and to be like, you know what, yeah, you know Peter's story, yeah, we're changing it up, but here's Miles, here's who's taking over from him, here's something that people sorely need in the movie universe, which is more representation. And, you know, I'll put it out there, I am a white girl, I am from a fairly... I wasn't wanting for anything growing up. And it frustrates me that people who have privilege like mine can't use that to give something back to people who don't have it. And it's really, really annoying. And it's really upsetting that they can't do this, that they can't... Like, I can go to Netflix and find a story where I can probably find a girl who looks like me and be able to sit down and watch it. Can I say the same for other people? No. Miles is the perfect opportunity that they've got to be able to give a hero to other people so that they can see themselves in these movies and have something that they can look forward to. So it annoys me that they're not willing to take that risk when, you know, they've got these characters are established in their comic books. They know they work. They know that people love them. Why not give them to more people to love? That's something that frustrates me a lot.
Yeah. Preach. I wrote an article about that, actually. I've just remembered, like, I don't know, many months ago at this point, back when I was ideological and hopeful. But even then they were saying, hey, I think it was the Sony execs actually at the time that were saying, guys, Miles Morales is never going to happen. Like, never ever. It's obviously, like, I really feel like that's a big mistake that they have made, especially if they want to go younger with it. Miles is a younger character. Like, that's built Miles into his story. The fact that he's a young kid dealing with this.
13, 14 when he starts out.
Right. So and that'd be perfect for what they wanted.
Yeah. And I know on my, my casting thing, I looked at people a little bit older for Miles, but I was kind of playing into the idea that it would probably follow on from Amazing Spider-Man in terms of, like, the direction that they'd go in, so end of high school, or potentially going with a more adult Spider-Man, which is why I went from, like, Donald Glover to, like, Alfie Enoch and John Boyega. But it's kind of one of those things where, you know what, there are some young actors who could easily play Miles, and it's just frustrating that, you know, if you want to go younger, why not change it up enough? You can go younger. You can use Miles for this. And yeah. For me, there are no excuses for why they can't do it.
Right.
There's no excuses.
I'll tell Marvel a little secret. People don't care about Peter Parker. People care about Spider-Man. Yeah. The whole point is anyone can be in the suit, right? That's the beauty of Spider-Man, is like it's full body. Anyone can be in there. As long as they're a fan of Lycra. So why not embrace that? And they haven't. And it's just like, I can't even think about it. It makes me so mad. I mean, yeah, everything that you just said, I don't really have anything else to add to that except just my general fury over the situation. And I really liked your picks for Miles, as you said, for a slightly older Miles, so... We will make sure to link to that in the show notes so that you guys can check it out. And if I can find my old article about Miles Morales and it's not too embarrassing, we may link to that as well. Then you can get the full fury from the Hero Hype ladies.
Yeah.
All right. We will be talking, obviously, a lot more about Spider-Man as this story builds and as we find out more details. Do not worry. There'll be many more jokes at Sony's expense. There'll be many more complaints about why we have to see more Peter Parker. Because, look, Peter Parker's great, but, I mean, nerdy white guys, like, not underrepresented on TV and film. There are a lot of them. So, you know, it used to be hard to be a nerdy white guy, and I feel that. And obviously, totally agree with you. It's great to see more, like, positive Jewish representation. But, I mean, you know, we could have done something else with it. Anyway. We will keep you posted on all of that. Briefly, here's something we can get excited about. Ian McKellen is going to be in X-Men Apocalypse, greatest news of all time. I would like Ian McKellen to be in all films, but especially appearing as Magneto, because I just think he's, like, the greatest thing. And I just think, like, he and Fassbender have done, well, Fassbender, I suppose, did such a great job of, like, making it so believable that he was the young McKellen, you know? And I just love him so much. And I love the X-Men movies, even though they're so problematic and bad. And that's a conversation we will need to have at some point, probably when this comes out. But, you know, I'm excited for this. I was very, very excited. Are you still excited for this? Could you get excited for X-Men? I mean, I know you like it, but I feel like you don't quite share my level of mania about it.
I do. The films disappoint me more than they excite me because I was such a huge fan of the comic books and I still am a huge fan of the X-Men comic books. So I always kind of go in, you know, I try and be fairly optimistic about them, but most of the time I come out going, what are they doing? They have amazing source material to play with here and they're just screwing with it and not in a good way. So I do, but like at this point, I've kind of gotten to that stage where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go and see it. I am. Am I going to like hype myself up for it? Probably not, because I don't want to disappoint myself even more.
So. Oh, no. It's fun to do it my way, which is get really excited and then get really sad about it. Like Days of Future Past is one of the worst superhero movies that has ever been made. Despite the absolutely stellar cast that they have going on. And as you said, the fantastic source material. I'm a huge fan of the X-Men comics. Actually started in the X-Men comics. I don't know if I've said this story, but I started with Joss Whedon's run. That was my like real intro to comic books. So that and like Captain America. But X-Men was the first one that I read properly. So, you know, it holds a dear place in my heart. And I love the characters and I love the actors and the movies are so bad and yet I get so excited for them. So it's just a real roller coaster of a ride. But that's what I like. So that's fine. We will have to wait obviously until next year to see X-Men Apocalypse, but Ian McKellen, it's so exciting. Over on Deadpool, we have 6 TV actresses in the running to star opposite Ryan Reynolds, but we don't know for what role. A lot of really good actresses on here. We have, let's see, we have Crystal Reed, who Yay! People may know from Teen Wolf. Donya, I don't know. Teen Wolf, have you heard of that show? I think it's quite good. Yeah.
I might have watched one or two episodes of that show.
Yeah. We have Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black, and then a whole lot of other really great ladies. But yeah, like we said, we don't know who they're playing yet. So we'll keep you posted on that. And then, not technically TV, film, superhero news, but too exciting to not talk about, just briefly, is that there is an all-female Avengers team coming to Marvel. The A-Force was just announced. This looks amazing. The cover, the art of this is the coolest thing I have seen. Oh, I love it so much. And some of you guys were asking us about this, and so we'll get to that in a little bit, but Donya, general feelings about this?
Hell freaking yes.
Yep.
Because one of the people in charge of this is G. Willow Wilson, who is currently writing the Miss Marvel series, which is for Pakistani-American Kamala
yes.
Khan. And she is phenomenal. Her heading this up with another team, just, I'm so excited about it. Because even from looking at just the females on this cover, it's like everything from different races, different sexualities. Like, there is so much that's being covered here. I'm just so excited about the potential for this, because it could be so, so good. And in the hands of Wilson, I have so much faith in her. So as soon as I can pre-order this to have in my hands, I'm going to be putting a whole series order on this yeah. to get from my comic store. So
yeah, make yeah. this movie, put this in phase three. I agree yeah. with you. I think this is, I mainly read comics digitally, but I need to own this, because this is so great.
You know what? Make this your phase four Avengers movie.
Oh, yes. Please do that. And then Donya also wants a Hawkeye standalone.
Yeah. Just but I'd happily side. Have that as like a TV series.
Oh, the Hawkeye series? Hawkeye yeah. and Hawkeye?
Yeah, I would happily have that as a TV series. I think it would work better as like a procedural kind of TV series, kind of almost like a really terrible detective.
Yeah, I kind think of I thing. Pitched that last time, like with yeah. bad puns and yeah. like lots of banter. Yeah. I suppose I don't even need to ask you this, but have you read the new issue of Hawkeye?
Oh my god, don't talk to me.
Okay, so Donya's favorite comic of all time. There's only one more to go, and it's going to be released. Will it even be released before the new run starts of it? Because they push it back so often, like no, every it will month.
Be, yeah, it it's will be released disaster. Before the new run. Yeah, it will be released before the new run starts. Yeah. But the new run is looking really good, and right. the implications of how that new run is going to work is, like, from the issue that was just released, is it like changes how that's gonna work and makes me so much more right. excited.
Hold it in. Hold it in. Yep. Next time. Next time we'll talk about it. in about 50 years when the final issue comes out, we'll talk about that too. Okay, that's it for news this week. Make sure you let us know what you think about all of this. Obviously, slightly longer episode, but we wanted to make sure we had plenty of time to talk about Spider-Man because it is such a big story. So let us know what you think in the comments on this podcast or at Hero Hype Podcast. Hey, you know what people should do? They should do a Hero Hype Listen hashtag. They should tweet us as they're listening to this. We should have yeah. said that at the start of the show. That would be so fun. Do it next time. Re-listen yeah. to it and then tweet us as you're listening to it. That would be so fun. I would love to hear your like progression of, I don't know, enjoyment / frustration / lady loving time. Whatever Hero Hype inspires in you, I don't know. You'll have to
or even you. Yeah, or even your lady rage.
Yes, which is a lot of the time. I would say it's like 90% of the show, and then like 10% bad jokes. And speaking of bad jokes, it's time for our quote of the week segment. But because it's Valentine's Day and we are so in love with you guys and with each other, we thought, hey, why not do some really cheesy superhero pickup lines instead?
God, you ever showed up, pal?
No.
not when I'm awake.
For your superhero Valentine, for the Valentine, you know, in your life, feel free to borrow some of these and take full credit for them. They will 100% work, guaranteed.
Yep.
So what have you got for us?
Here we go. Right. Okay. I'm not the Valentine you want. I'm the Valentine you need. I'm Batman.
Wow. Okay. So context quickly. I knew what the line was already, but I did not understand that the voice was accompanying it. And
you have to do the voice.
I may have to release a special Hero Hype like mini episode of just that on repeat. That might be a thing that happens. Or can someone do like one of those, you know, like the dubstep remixes, like the Hobbits are going to Isengard, but with Donya's like Batman voice? That would be amazing. Please do that. Terrible. And we will send you something. I'll send you Donya in the mail as a present if you do that.
I'd probably fit in a standard sized envelope, let's be real.
I mean, yeah, that was what I was thinking. Save on postage, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me think. I guess I'll go with, in honor of our discussion of the week, for your Spider-Man lover in your life, my Spidey senses aren't the only thing that's tingling, but I just thought of a really great one. What did I just think of? Banner in the streets and Hulk in the sheets. Yeah. I could just keep going. These are terrible. But yeah, you did have an honorable quote of the week for us, which I totally agree with. So yeah. Why don't you go ahead and do that before I just descend into absolute madness of superhero chat up lines.
Yeah, so my honorable quote of the week mention is for Cisco, who very wonderfully said, "How can you speak six languages and sound like a dick in every one of them?"
Yep, accurate.
Beautiful. Yep. Absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely. Okay, so let us know if you have a great superhero chat up line, pick up line, Valentine. Make sure you chat us up on Twitter. We would love to hear those. And just keep an eye out, because you know what? Some more of our favorite ones might be going out over the weekend, just in case you guys need a little help with the love in your life. Now it's time for another fan favorite segment. I feel like I can call it that. People have been really enjoying it. It is, of course, Comic Corner, where we give you recommendations of how to get started in the world of the comics based on a character or a show or a series or something that you love. And because we are all about Spider-Man this week, it is none other than Peter Parker.
Sky, Trip, get ready for a large file transfer.
A large.
Okay, so this is actually my hardest week ever to narrow this down to just five, but let's get started. So my first recommendation is The Amazing Spider-Man Masterworks. This trade paperback includes The Origins of Spider-Man from Amazing Fantasy number 15, which is essential reading for anyone looking to get their start with the web-slinger. Of particular note is that Amazing Fantasy was being cancelled as of this particular issue, and Stan Lee was allowed to introduce Peter because of that. And now look where we are. The second one that I have is Death of the Stacies, which is kind of an obvious choice for any Spider-Man list, but it's no less important because of that. This trade covers the death of Gwen Stacy, which was a hugely pivotal moment in the comics. It's heart-wrenching and emotional, and, you know, some of us are still mourning for the girl we consider Peter's one true love. You know, sorry, MJ.
Not sorry.
Not sorry. Yeah, it was. That's a sorry, not sorry moment.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. Another one I've got is Spider-Man versus Venom, which sees Spider-Man come up against a villain that has all of the same powers that he does and doesn't set off his Spidey sense. And so he has to rely on his wits and intelligence as Peter Parker to defeat him, and kind of highlights that Spider-Man is so much more than his superpowers. Another one is Craven's Last Hunt. This one's not particularly for the faint-hearted because it sees the villain Craven defeat Spider-Man by burying him alive. So if you get a little bit claustrophobic or that kind of thing scares you, give this one a miss, even though it's really, really great because it sees Peter dealing with his own mortality. MJ's strength as she deals with her missing husband and Craven's quest to prove himself superior in every way to Spider-Man. And the conclusion of this one is completely unforgettable. So it's an absolute must read for Spider-Man fans, as long as you can get over the buried alive thing. And my last one is The Kid Who Collects Spider-Man. Now, this is the only single issue comic on this list. But The Amazing Spider-Man, issue 248, is arguably one of the most emotional Spider-Man stories ever. It's the backup story to the main one where Spider-Man takes on Thunderball, but it's a hard-hitting, human interest-esque tale that you can't miss. All I'll tell you is that Spider-Man visits his biggest fan. Anything else would be spoiling it.
Ooh. Spoilers.
Yep.
All right, so that has enough to get you started in the world of Spider-Man, if you feel so inclined. Okay, we asked you last time in our question of the week, what female-led superhero movie would you have liked or liked to see Joss Whedon helm in honor of the news of Joss Whedon's great interview that Joss Whedon gave. We were such fans of it. Listen to the last episode to hear our positive reactions. Cassie said, would have loved to see Joss tackle Black Widow or Harley Quinn. Yeah, she's DC. Crazy time. Sailor Moon, totes a hero. Yeah, Sailor Moon is totally a hero. I would have loved to see a Black Widow or Harley Quinn. Both would have been excellent. And did you want to grab that one from Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. So Michael said, I think Joss could adapt Captain Marvel. It could have some Firefly elements and focus on Carol dealing with her amnesia, all the while having her kick major ass and possibly try to wreck the Spartax Emperor, leading to a certain tie-in.
Oh, we love your responses. If you have a response to our last question of the week, or any of our previous questions of the week, I can't remember how many we've done, maybe two more before this week.
Yeah, I think so.
Just like tweet us or throw them in the comments if you're listening to old episodes. We would love to hear them and we will definitely read those out on the next episode. We also had some more comments from you guys on Twitter. Amelia, I think is how you say it. Said, I'm embarrassingly ignorant of female supers in general. Could you give an overview, some examples for non-comic readers? And then Magic is Might also was asking, I think, about Avengers A-Force.
Force, yeah.
So, yeah, that's coming. We promise. We are going to talk all about that. We actually had some of that planned for this week to answer you guys, give you guys a hand with that. But then, you know, Spider-Man happened, and as with Marvel, we have to drop everything to accommodate Peter Parker. So apologies for that. As long as no other, like, dude gets a movie between now and next time, we'll definitely be giving you some lady wrecks on our next episode. And did you want to grab that last tweet?
Yeah, so Julio says, I'm praying they cast for Miles Morales. It's time for some diversity up in Hollywood.
We feel you.
Preach, Julio.
Yeah, we're sorry to have ruined that for you, but it looks like no, unfortunately not.
Yeah, I know.
And finally this week, we have some iTunes reviews from you guys. If you are enjoying Hero Hype, if you have listened all the way through our Lady Rage about Spider-Man and all of the fun things we have this week, we would really, really appreciate if you left us a rating and review in iTunes. It's just another way for all of the comic book nerds to find the show. And, you know, I'm going to say I'm in Australia. Guys, I need some Australian representation because I can't access the other iTunes stores. So if you're in Australia and you haven't left a review, you're letting the team down. And you need to get on that immediately because it's making me really, really sad. So, Donya, why don't you read the first one?
Yeah, so this one was a really, really nice five-star review from Haley T33. which says, all of Hyperball's podcasts are amazingly addictive. The hosts know their stuff and are always great fun to listen to. It's particularly enjoyable to listen to a superhero-based podcast hosted by girls. Every other one I found kind of feels like a guy's club. And whilst I enjoy them, this makes a pleasant change. Hyperball, I am ever your humble servant.
Oh, thank you so much. We also had some love from PollockM3, who titled their review Awesomeness. So I think that's a good sign. And they said, I love this podcast for all the strong opinions and graphic novel insights. I have been wanting to start reading more comics, and they added so many to my to-read list. I don't watch all the shows they review, but their excitement for Arrow and Flash has made me decide to catch up on them. That is so exciting. I'm so glad that you tried them out because of our excitement and our recommendations.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I wonder if anyone else has been inspired by our slight obsession with these shows. Let us know, guys, if we have managed to convert any of you. We also had a really nice review, Cerulean Snidget, who I have definitely seen you in the comments on Hyperball. You are great. Who titled their review Full Representation and said, it is so refreshing to get a podcast about all the superhero movies and shows hosted by two women. Not only is this podcast great for news and analysis, they are fans of diversity in the genre too, and they are not shy about it. I love their discussions about representation of all demographics, or lack thereof, in the current movies and TV shows. We love you for leaving that really nice review. And it makes us feel emotions, and that is super nice. And did you want to grab that last one?
Yeah, so I don't know how you say this username. It's SR Padamane, maybe?
Maybe.
And it's titled Another Wonderful Podcast from Hyperball.com. And it says, as a female fan of superhero movies, shows, and comic books, you guys really deliver. Thanks for this wonderful podcast.
Well, thank you, guys. And if you haven't left us a review and you can take like 1 second to do that, we again would really, really appreciate it. And who knows, maybe we will be singing your praises on the next episode. As long as it's a nice review, I don't know, we might not be so cheerful about it if it's not nice. Okay, so that's it for this week. We have, I'm so exhausted. So much Spider-Man news.
I know.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess we've had like 7 episodes of making jokes at Sony's expense, so it was about time we dedicated some time to the Spider-Man franchise. What's our question of the week, Donya? What do we want people to be telling us in the comments and on Twitter after they finish this episode?
So, if you could change up the Phase 3 order, which movies would you like to see released first?
Whoa, okay. Personally, I don't know. I'll have to think about that one. Maybe Spider-Man. I would like to see that one first. Because, you know, 5 single Spider-Man movies is not enough. I really need that number 6. Oh, dear. I think I'm becoming slightly delusional, and we'll see. I'm going to be hallucinating Spider-Man after I finish editing this show.
Yep.
Hopefully it's that like gif of him where he's the little cartoon dancing Spider-Man. Man, I love that. We'll try and link that in the show notes. That is a thing of beauty. Okay, let's end it here before this really descends into total Peter Parker madness. So we will see you once again in 2 weeks. We'll be back with Hero Hype episode 9, and that will have all of the latest news. We'll be talking about Agent Carter, which will have wrapped up then, and our anticipation, obviously Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be back after that, all of the other TV and film news that happens in that time, as well as giving you comic book recommendations and histories, reading out your answers to our question of the week, and anything else that you want to let us know. Especially, don't forget to let us know what you would like us to do for our next Hero Hype rewatch. What movie do you think would be funny to see Donya tweet about? Or possibly me, but Donya's tweets are like mainly insightful, and mine would be like 85% jokes and puns. So I guess it depends what you are looking for in the Hero Hype Twitter account. That's a good way of knowing who's replying to you also. And I would like to just give a shout out to everyone who appreciated my superhero Super Bowl humor. Thank you for the validation on that one. Okay.
I woke up to those tweets and I couldn't help but laugh because I was just like, they were one of the first ones that were at the top of my feed, and I was like, oh, Marima.
Oh, well.
Never change.
I am incredibly funny. That is true. So we will see you in 2 weeks, and until then, I'm Marima.
And I'm Danya.
Bye.
Bye, guys.